Welcome to this week's edition of The Green. I'm your host, Tom Byrne. The Rehoboth Beach Ocean Outfall went live at the end of May. It's now discharging treated wastewater into the Atlantic Ocean. The city has been working on this project for a number of years after being mandated to stop discharging into the Lewis-Rehoboth Canal. But the environmental opposition to this project remains and raises the question, what sort of oversight does the outfall need going forward? Delaware Public Media's Katie Pikus has been following this story for some time now and joins us this week to offer some perspective. Katie, thanks for being with us this week.
Thanks for having me.
So let's start at the beginning. Why did Rehoboth Beach decide to go with an ocean outfall over some other options?
So the whole objective of this wastewater disposal project was for the city to remove its point source discharge, its treated wastewater that has a high amount of nutrients from the inland bays. So this has been a long time coming since state and federal orders mandated Rehoboth to do this in 1998. And Rehoboth considered two options. One was a land disposal application where they would apply the treated wastewater to agricultural land. The other was an ocean outfall. But in terms of land application, that water travels through the groundwater and can get back into the inland bays. I spoke to Mayor Coons about that.
We wouldn't have really been eliminating. We may have been limiting the nitrates and the phosphates. But, you know, some of the problems they have in agricultural situations where there's still nitrates and phosphates going into the inland bays, we're very happy not to be part of that anymore.
So after looking at the two disposal options, the city put the outfall option as preferred option to referendum in 2015, won by about 30 votes. So clearly not a wildly popular choice, especially with a couple of environmental groups. As we mentioned at the top, they remain opposed to the outfall over possible impact on ocean health. Tell us a little bit more about this kind of continuing environmental worry about what the ocean outfall is going to do.
So the two main groups that we've seen opposition from are the Delaware Chapter of the Surfrider Foundation and the Marine Education Research and Rehabilitation Institute. Now, Suzanne Thurman with the Mare Institute filed an appeal in 2017 that happened in mid-January this year. She wanted to ensure that work stoppages be put in place while marine life migrate through the area during the ocean work for the project. Now, that appeal was denied because the Environmental Appeals Board determined that she herself, the appellant in the case, would not be harmed by the project. So then, you know, I emailed the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration to ask them why the ocean outfall did not need an incidental harassment permit. That's a type of permit that allows you to essentially harm a certain amount of marine mammals while doing work in the ocean. NOAA said that a consultation with the Army Corps of Engineers on fish habitat happened in August 2016, and that determines that there would be minimal to no harm to these species. So as far as we know, there was oversight on marine mammals during the ocean work of this project, but as for how official it was is still kind of an open question. The city did not hire any sort of third-party trained marine mammal observers to watch for them. Rather, Manson Construction, which were the contractors doing the ocean work for the project, they were supposed to keep an eye out and stop working if they saw a seal nearby in the water or hauled out on the beach. We don't know whether or not that happened. I would like to have some sort of access to any sort of marine mammal observer reports that they made. I don't know if those are out there or not yet. And one thing to also note is that since work in the ocean was slated to end April 1st originally, which that's a key species migration time, the state and the Army Corps of Engineers and NOAA determined no restrictions were needed to address any concerns about fish habitat. However, we had a month of a lot of rain, some snow in March, so the contractors couldn't get a lot of work done in the project, and Denrick and the Army Corps of Engineers did grant them extensions to allow them to do work in the ocean in May. And that's despite the fact that there are marine mammals, marine life, that migrate through the area in May. So, you know, I spoke with Mayor Coons about that.
As you look at the permitting process, we were given limitations on time because of the environment. As the water gets warmer, more marine mammals come up through that area. Fortunately, bad weather in some ways was kind of good for us because the water stayed cold, and so it allowed Denrec as well as the Army Corps of Engineers to do their analysis and say, okay, it's still cold water, we can let you work a little bit further.
So was due diligence done on this part? We've got federal agencies signing off on that, but Suzanne Thurman with the Mare Institute says she doesn't believe that due diligence was done.
They have other environmental indicators that tell them it's time to start their movement, and that has a lot to do with the length of days, the rays of sunlight, not as much the temperature. So temperature can dictate some things, but our first dolphin sightings are in February now.
So she's talking about the fact that marine mammals essentially would not be affected by any sort of, you know, bad weather in March, that they're still going to be on the move no matter what, not because of, you know, ocean temperature.
Right, that there's still that possibility of interrupting their migration pattern. That's interesting. And we've also seen a couple of unusual mortality events involving various whale species since 2017. About 4 years after the city and engineers put together their environmental impact statement on the ocean outfall's potential impact on marine life. Is that something to worry about, that maybe the information is a bit outdated?
Well, environmental groups certainly say it is. But for one thing, you know, Rehoboth had to upgrade its wastewater treatment plant and treat its wastewater to a certain degree called a tertiary degree that removes 99.5% of toxins like nitrogen and phosphorus from the water. You know, they had to do that no matter what over time to reduce the amount of nutrients going into the inland bays. So it's kind of expected that, you know, even though there is this concern that these species became under unusual mortality events after the environmental impact statement was done, that because of the information already in the statement that, you know, this is a different form of wastewater treatment than most municipalities do, that it would not have an effect on those species because they're upgrading to a different, more kind of better kind of treatment.
And you mentioned now, obviously, the idea of oversight. What did the mayor have to say to you about oversight in this regard?
Yeah, on oversight, you know, I asked Mayor Coons what happens if there's an outage or an upset at the treatment plant, you know, what the city will do to make sure untreated or undertreated wastewater isn't piped into the ocean.
If there's a problem from an electrical perspective, for example, we have a redundant system set up. And one of the upgrades that we're doing as we move forward, we're putting pretty substantial generators down at the plant to make sure that as capacity may increase, that we make sure that we have the electrical ability to make sure things don't happen.
And, you know, he says that they'll be monitoring the outfall constantly, and once every 5 years, they have to bring divers in to inspect it. Now, one thing to add is that there's still a lot of questions on whether or not that the treatment will take out all of the pharmaceuticals that are in this wastewater. And even if it doesn't, UD Water Resources, the Center for the Inland Bays, the City of Rehoboth say the ocean is so well flushed that it will filter these concentrations better than, you know, Puget Sound, for example. There's some news about mussels testing positive for opioids that were left in wastewater after treatment. You know, that's a different body of water here. Plus, the city has been making upgrades to its wastewater treatment plant over time since 1980s, which, you know, I mentioned before, and especially since they knew that they would eventually have to stop discharging into the bays. They wanted to reduce, you know, any sort of problem with, well, nitrates and phosphates as much as possible. As for pharmaceuticals, again, there's still some questions whether or not that'll affect ocean health, but I think that we'll start to answer those questions over time.
We do have a comparison point to look at. Sussex County has another ocean outfall discharging treated wastewater from the South Coastal Regional Wastewater Facility. They've been doing that into the ocean since 1979. Can we glean anything from its operation and its impact to this point?
Well, I spoke to Lauren George, and he's one of the managers at the facility, about it. What can you tell me about the South Coastal facility and the ocean outfall to ease any concerns over treated wastewater's effect on the ocean?
I just know that we meet our permit. We're in compliance, have been for the whole time I've been here at this facility since 89.
Have you guys ever had an upset or a treatment flaw?
Not that we couldn't take care of, no. It's usually minimal, minor issues. Maybe a pump goes down, but we have most areas of the plant have 2 and 3 pumps in them, so no.
So they have monitoring capabilities, storage capacity, and so does Rehoboth. And At South Coastal, they say they haven't had an upset. So if Rehoboth's is similar, we'll see how things go over time.
All right. Katie Pike is Delaware Public Media Science reporter. Thank you for helping us understand this story a bit better.
Thanks for having me.
And you can follow Katie's reporting on this story and others anytime at DelawarePublic.org. Next up on The Green, June is LGBTQ Pride Month, and Wilmington is joining the ranks of those recognizing it. We'll hear more about that from our Sophia Schmidt. Stay with us. You're listening to Delaware Public Media.